Page 40. Editor's Column, Blind Californian, Winter 2005, Volume 49, Number 1, by Winifred Downing. Editor's Note, we reprint the following column here because of the timeless concerns Wynne raises. Some of the articles she mentions may at first seem irrelevant today, but how many of you encountered difficulty with accessible voting machines in last fall's elections? Just last year in Missouri, a young blind couple had their newborn taken away from them solely because they were blind. They had to fight a court battle to get their baby back. Page 41. Though blind and visually impaired people encounter a lot more problems in everyday life than do most sighted persons, our situation is still much improved now from what it was even just 50 years ago. When I graduated from college with my teaching credential for the state of Illinois and approached the Board of Education in Chicago, I was told that people with severe physical problems such as blindness were not accepted in the Chicago schools. There was no avenue for argument. The matter was settled. I went on then to seek my master's degree in social work, but though I had what today would be a 4.0 record in college, the University of Chicago could just say that no blind persons were accepted in the School of Social Work. Loyola University, fortunately, was more amenable, but the directors there found it extremely difficult to find for me an agency that would accept me for advanced fieldwork placement. The problem was solved by having me work in the same agency where I had done the first placement, but assigning me to more difficult cases requiring cooperative efforts with additional agencies. Page 42. Again, when I moved to San Francisco to teach at the Orientation Center, I found doors closed. There was a Catholic Women's Club here then called St. Margaret's Club, and my parents and our parish pastor felt less worried about my adventure were I to have the stability of a women's residence club. Father Hishon called the club from Chicago, and 50 years ago, long-distance calls were not made lightly. St. Margaret's Club, however, refused even to interview me, though I had by that time lived in a college dorm, rented a room with a family, and spent 2 years in an apartment with a friend. Again, there was no opportunity for debate. Case closed. Because young people don't have so many of these experiences today, it is often difficult to explain to them what the purpose of a local chapter of the CCB or of the ACB is. Many would prefer more social events, going together to a theater performance or a movie, but not listening to a talk about rehab, social security, library service, legislative initiatives, or seminars on the IEP. Even though today's young people don't have things the way they'd like them, they don't see the blatant kind of injustice that used to be quite common. The article in this issue on voting, even though it talks about Illinois, recounts experiences that people all over the country have had, some positive and some disappointing. Certainly, though, no one would be reporting anything were it not for the organizations of disabled persons that have intervened on this matter for some years now, and particularly in the Help America Vote effort. Page 43. An even more direct and personal example of the necessity of thwarting discrimination and prejudice is described in New Baby and His Parents, which you will read later. Within hours after the difficulty began, local chapters, the CCB president and the ACB president were all involved. Television showed pictures and gave accounts of blind parents successfully raising children, and 2 days later the subject was still being mentioned on newscasts. The little family is in their own apartment, and an attorney has been secured to assist them. Immediate help was available because of the organization we have and the willingness of everyone contacted to drop everything to address their problem. Would we have the efforts to provide independent private voting, to obtain justice for a young family in trouble, to interest a corporation in developing a fully accessible cell phone, to gain support for installing audible pedestrian signals, or to provide textbooks for visually impaired children at the same time that sighted students get theirs? Would we have these encouraging developments without local chapters, state affiliates, and a national organization?